9 o'clock, Jim and the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles. It's Wine About a Wednesday with Dowlin Wine. If you got something, you just got to get off your chest. Maybe it's about the Broncos uniforms. They're going to get a refresh, an update. Color's going to stay the same. Cyber Bronco's going to stay. It's going to have elements of Colorado, according to Greg Penner. What the hell does that mean? We don't know. We're not sure. Mountain range on the sleeve. That seems to be a logical assumption. We got some thoughts on that today. Also, Shohei Ohtani said that his interpreter stole from him. The more we hear about this, the more it feels like Ohtani is the victim in this. Whether it's he felt bad for his former interpreter and gave him the money, or the guy, as Ohtani makes the assertion, stole it from him. The Shohei Ohtani, because we didn't know, we weren't sure. Was Ohtani placing bets? Was he doing it through his interpreter? Even his interpreter, now former interpreter, said that Ohtani had nothing to do with it. That he was just, what, helping him out was what the,
yeah.
I think what Zahara said, helping him out.
Mm-hmm.
And so, okay, but then you get these comments like from Robert where, well, then you got to, if Ohtani's involved in this, then you've got to cut Pete Rose some slack and put him in the Hall of Fame.
No.
No.
And he's like, oh, he didn't notice the money was. A lot of times, these type of people don't. How many times have you had actresses or actors or anybody else that has somebody else in charge of their finances screw them out of money? Pages and pages and pages of Google search results show up about this person had millions of dollars scammed by an accountant.
The guy that worked for Jacksonville that stole $22 million from them, and it took them a while to figure that out. I mean, it's...
Shohei Ohtani made comfortably north of $100 million in his time just playing for the Angels. That has nothing, no accounting of his off-the-field income in a country where he doesn't have a firm grasp of really what's going on around him at times because he doesn't understand it because it's a different language.
Yeah, I think
that's his fault.
That's not his fault. I think Shohei Ohtani manages his own personal bank account. Probably got an accountant. Got somebody that does that.
Tax guy, a lawyer.
Yeah.
He's got all sorts of representatives.
There are all kinds of red flags popping up regarding to gambling, tanking, and criminal activity. The team had, we have blinders on. And plus,
the FBI is investigating the situation.
Plus being a touch heartless. How are we being heartless? How are we being heartless, Robert?
Apparently it's heartless to, when someone agrees to being banned for life, you hold them to that.
That's being, as Guru Gary said, he's like, he agreed to a lifetime ban. He agreed to that.
You know, what is also, according to Robert, I'm extrapolating, but according to Robert, you know what else is heartless? Someone who pled guilty being in prison.
Apparently so. Is he not allowed to change his mind on that?
He said he was guilty.
But now he said he's not.
Now he said he's not. Let him out.
Once again, as we talked about last hour,
mm-hmm.
P. Rose, Hall of Fame player. No doubt about it. As a player, should probably be in the Hall of Fame. But you can't separate Pete Rose, the player, from Pete Rose, the manager, and what he did and what he knew he was doing could lead to the results that the outcome that happened. Getting banned from baseball,
mm-hmm.
which means, sorry, that really good part of your life, that the Hall of Fame part of your life,
right?
You don't get to fall back on that.
No, and when...
I mean, I've gone back and forth. I still feel like I wish there was a way that P. Rose could be in the Hall of Fame. But I don't know how you can reconcile that. Because as a player...
For me, because he's a person in baseball.
Yeah, because I've gone back. I've struggled with this. Being a Reds fan as a mm-hmm. kid and loving P. Rose, I've gone back and forth a lot on it. And I've not tried to be hypocritical or flip-flopping, but it's my childhood player that I watched with Bench and Griffey and Don Gullett and all those great players for the Reds, Sparky and the Reds, that Pete Rose means something to me from my childhood.
I would be able to separate
it. But I can't be so nostalgic, though, about it where I can't go, yeah, he also did some really crappy things. He was not particularly, he's never been particularly contrite about it. And so I just.
I would be more apt to separate it if he was somewhere different. He played for the Reds. He managed the Reds. He didn't even leave town. It's hard. It's not hard to imagine that as soon as he got hired, he found a bookie.
Yeah.
And yes, of course, the FBI is investigating an illegal bookmaker in California.
It's on the freaking wall in the locker room in the clubhouse that you can't bet on baseball. You can't gamble. Mm-hmm. It was on the wall. It was in every major league clubhouse when that was going on.
But if I'm heartless for making people stick to the penalties they have agreed to, then I'm heartless.
I would also be more less. I'd be more accepting about Pete Rose and caring about Pete the guy and everything. If Pete was a better guy, Pete's not a very good guy.
No, he's not.
He's not. And this is from somebody that loved him as a player. Mm-hmm. He's not a great human being. I would be more forgiving and kind if Pete Rose had more contrition, if Pete Rose was a more likable guy. He's just not. It's like Barry Bonds. Do I think Barry Bonds should be in the Hall of Fame? Probably. Don't think he's a great guy. But he probably should be in the Hall of Fame. But there's more working against Pete Rose than there is against Barry Bonds in this whole thing.
At least Barry Bonds has held the same
line. He stayed the course.
And has not accepted a ban.
Yes.
Not put his name on a paper saying, yeah, all right.
I agree to this, yes. I agree to the plea deal. All right, it's 9:07, and it's time to tackle CSU with the voice of the Rams, Brian Roth.
Talking CSU with the voice of the Rams, Brian Roth, on the Jim Davis Show.
Brian Roth joins us. Good morning, Brian. How are you?
Good morning, Jim. How you guys doing?
Doing fine. Doing well today. Wish things would have went differently for the Rams. It seemed like the script got flipped after the great job they did against Virginia in the first half, holding them to 14 points, and they got that script flipped on them against Texas with just the 11 points in the first half. Tough hole to dig themselves out of, but give Nico Medved's guys credit. They tried to fight back against Texas. They lose 56-44 in the tournament. Still an incredible season for Nico Medved and the CSU Rams.
Yeah, it's a tough way to go out, especially, you know, given the fact that they had played so well on Tuesday night against Virginia. And, of course, we talked about that game with you on the program last week, and it just looked like Colorado State had it kind of rolling again, and then they go into the contest in Charlotte against Texas on Thursday. And I mean, it was almost like a nightmare. And talking to Nico and some of the assistant coaches afterwards, they were just like, we're pinching ourselves, just wondering if we're going to wake up for this. And whatever Virginia had, they gave it to Colorado State, and then Colorado State gave it to Texas in the next round. Yeah. In their first half against Tennessee, they were terrible. And so the first half Blues were traveling through those teams. But, I mean, listen, it was a historically bad first half, and only have 11 points. And it's not just 11 points. But Jim, they scored 3 points in the final 14 minutes of the first half. I mean, three whole points. And you know, you just go back and you think would have, could have, should have. Because, you know, I look at that game. I look at the second half. I look at those two teams. Texas is really athletic. They have a lot of talent. I think Colorado State certainly was much better coached, played with more discipline. And if CSU had an average first half, let's just say even below average, let's just say the halftime scores 27-19, 27-20 instead of 27-11. I think Colorado State has a very good chance of winning that basketball game. And I think if those two teams went out the next day and the next day and the next day and played that game again, I mean, I think it's, you know, 50-50, maybe 45-55 in favor of Texas. But there wasn't much separating those two teams, having watched that in person. But look, I mean, you are who you are in a single game situation in the NCAA tournament. That's why it's so fascinating. It's one game. It's not a best of seven series like the NBA. And Colorado State picked a bad time to throw out a historically bad first half of offensive basketball, and it cost them, which is too bad because, you know, I think this was a team that you know certainly had a chance to make a run at least to the second round and you know give it a shot against Tennessee.
And I think you also factor in, Brian, that Max Abmas, their leading scorer, 12 points. He was 5 of 15 from the field, 1 for 6 from three-point range. He was 1 for 3 from the foul line. If you tell Nico Medved those numbers, he's probably feeling like they win the basketball game if they do that to Abmas. But unfortunately, that was not the case the other day.
Well, you know, it's interesting. You know, we were talking about going to that Virginia game about, you know, the Cavaliers' defense, and you know, they're one of the best defenses in the entire nation. I think they were third in points against. And, you know, Nico Medved was bringing it up to us last week before that Virginia game saying, look, and understand we're a really good defensive team. And that's where CSU, I think, has surprised me at least and probably a lot of the fans about how good they were defensively here this year. And they got better and better defensively as the season went along. I mean, the Rams were a top 30 defensive team. And obviously they showed it against Virginia. But then, you know, they came out and held Texas, a team that averaged over 80 points per game, to 56 points. I mean, Colorado State took them out of just about everything they wanted to do. You talk about Ace Smith, he only went 5-15. That's the all-time current leading scorer in college basketball. He's the eighth all-time leading scorer in the history of college basketball. And CSU, I mean, again, you go into that game, you talk about holding him to just 12 points on 5-15 shooting. And you talked about holding Texas to 40%, holding them to 56 points in that game. You figure you have a really good chance to win that basketball game. But, of course, again, defense was not the issue for Colorado State. It was that historically bad first half in which, you know, you shoot 18%. And it's just really hard to overcome that. But, you know, Colorado State was great defensively down the stretch. They just, for whatever reason, after starting off the season so well, in particular from beyond the three-point arc, for whatever reason, offensively, they just had the propensity to fall into these dry spells that we saw consistently in February and into March, where they literally couldn't hit the broadside of a barn, and that was the case in the first half.
He's the voice of CSU Rams, Brian Roth, with us today on the Team Sports Network. Isaiah Stevens, Joel Scott each had 10 points apiece in the loss to the Longhorns. And Isaiah really wasn't much of a factor offensively at all against Virginia in the Rams' victory against the Cavaliers. He's going to go down as one of the all-time great Rams players, going to have his number retired. But I think you look back to this particular part of his career, Brian, and it's a little bit underwhelming, unfortunately, for one of the all-time greats in Isaiah Stevens and how he played in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, I mean, Jim, there's no question about that. And, you know, we were lamenting about that afterwards, myself and Adam Nygaard, who's my analyst on the radio broadcast. And the next day at the team hotel at breakfast, I was sitting down with a couple of the Rams assistant coaches and kind of talked about Isaiah and just lamenting the fact that the career that he had at Colorado State, which is probably the best career in the history of the basketball program, ended the way it did. Now, against Virginia, I mean, he really was more of a decoy than anything else because Virginia threw the kitchen sink at him. And they just said, hey, we're not going to get beat by Isaiah Stevens. And every time the Rams would run Stevens off a ball screen, both players would run at Stevens. And, of course, Isaiah being such a, you know, playmaker, he's able to pass out of it. And one, two passes, and the Rams are getting a wide-open look or a layup at the rim. I mean, if hockey assists applied to basketball, he would have probably had 30 assists in the Virginia game. I mean, it all started with him, even though those numbers didn't look great. Again, 5 points, 4 assists, just 2 of 5 shooting. But Virginia completely said, hey, we're not going to get beat by him. And the Rams said, fine. Isaiah said, fine, no problem. We're going to beat you with other guys. And CSU did, scoring again 67 points and shooting over 60% in the second half. Now, the Texas game is another story because that's a contest in which, you know, Isaiah got plenty of looks and it just, I mean, let's call it what it is. He put out one of his worst games of the season. I mean, he went 0 for 8 in the first half and didn't score a point. And you get to that point of the season and you're in March Madness and and you're playing Texas in a first round game, you and let's not forget that he's a Texas kid as well. And so I'm sure he put a little extra pressure on himself. And, you know, you just can't go and win those games when your stud, your star player, goes 0-for-8 in the first half and doesn't have a single point. He ended up playing better in the second half. He had 10 second-half points. But the storybook ending would have been Isaiah Stevens coming out, willing the Rams to a victory against Texas, maybe rolled the dice against Tennessee, even if they lost in the second round. But just to have him on that big stage of the NCAA tournament, put up a 24 and 11 assist game, 24 points, 11 assists, just would have been the perfect way to close that out. But in the end, it is what it is, and it's too bad. But I do want to say this: it doesn't diminish what he had done the previous 5 years, because he is an all-timer for sure.
Brian Roth was the CSU Rams with us, so the Rams will lose, of course, Isaiah Stevens. Joel Scott comes in for the 1 year from Black Hills State. Patrick Cartier as well. What's it going to look like for Nico Medved next season?
That's a terrific question. What's it going to look like for any college basketball team next year, right? I mean, did you see the transfer portal opened up last Monday? I think there's already 900 or so players there. I mean, you're seeing guys, I think, what was it, South Carolina, who had a great season this year, lost their top score. And I'm going to go transfer. I'm going to go throw my hat in the ring and see what kind of NIL money I can get. And so it's incredible the way that college basketball rosters are starting to just change year to year. But you're right. The Rams lost 5 seniors that are obviously out of eligibility, and there are major questions for Colorado State coming up here this season. They have 4 freshmen coming in, but you know the movement's not going to be done. Now, the Rams have not had anybody go into the transfer portal as of yet. As we talk here on 9/17 on March 27th, I'm sure that'll change. But the number one job for the Colorado State coaching staff is keeping Nick Clifford for next year. And I think there was thoughts that Nick Clifford might dabble with the NBA back in November and December. I think that's probably a reach at this point. I think he is an NBA caliber player. I don't think he's ready. I think he's going to play college basketball next year, and Colorado State certainly hopes it's in Ford Collins. But securing Nick Clifford to come back for another year is priority number one. And then, look, I mean, you're not going to be able to compete for a Mountain West Conference championship playing those 4 freshmen a ton of minutes. Maybe one of them, maybe 2 of them might garner 15, 20 minutes a game. But CSU clearly is going to have to go into the transfer portal and bring in players. And what's the funds that they have available for NIL? I mean, again, that is a major factor of what happens over the course of the next 1 month, 2 months, when players are deciding where they're going to go. And it's not just about fit anymore. It's not just about culture. It's not just about, what's my role on the basketball team. A major, if not almost just the overwhelming factor of where guys are going to transfer to comes down to one thing, and it's, how much will you offer me? How much am I going to get? Am I going to get $100,000 to come to your place? Am I going to get $250,000? I mean, the Texas team CSU played last Thursday, Jim, they had 2 guys making over $700,000 on that. 2!
Yeah.
Okay? It's just such a different world, and what's the roster going to look like next year for the Rams? That's a fantastic question.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you trying to answer that question the best you possibly can with the ever-changing landscape in college basketball. Hey, Brian, we'll try to grab you if you've got some time before the spring game on the 20th for Jay Norvell and the football team. But I always appreciate it, buddy. Enjoy some downtime, and thanks again.
Absolutely. We'll talk to you, Jim. Thanks.
And take care. Brian Roth, voice of CSU Rams, with us on the program this morning. Coming up next, Scott Hastings covers the Nuggets for Altitude, along with Chris Marlowe. He'll join us next on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network.
It's your morning sports and more. It's the Jim Davis Show on the Team. Talking Nuggets with Altitude Sports on the Jim Davis Show.
And with us right now, the team line. Teams with Chris Marlowe to call the Nuggets on Altitude TV. Scott Hastings joins us. Scott, it's been a long time. Appreciate you coming on this morning.
I know, Jim. It's like you forgot about me. Like you loved me for a while, and then you just forgot about me.
No, Scott. No, no. We always love you, Scott. We always yeah. will. You're a busy man. You've got show on Altitude. You were working with Marlo. You're a busy guy. I mean, there's a lot on your plate, and it's been at times tough to get you on the program. Not by your own doing, but just by scheduling things.
Well, I tell you what. Your producer has my phone number now, so just keep it and just text me a day in advance and warn me, and I'll come on anytime.
Okay. Well,
that challenge accepted for sure.
Buckeyes got that filed away, so we will hold you to that, Scott, going forward. We'll give you a day's notice. We'll give you advance warning on the whole thing. Nuggets right now with the lead in the Western Conference. Denver, of course, with that win against Memphis the other night, dominating performance where. Certainly, though, when you look at, I want to start the bench, because when Bruce Brown left to go to Indiana, he was such a big part of last year's championship team, Swiss Army knife, and what Bruce Brown could do off the bench, that there was the uncertainty, can this group of young guys, the Peyton Watsons, the Christian Browns, can those guys develop? Brown gets plugged in the starting lineup the other night against Memphis, has 17 points, plays great. This bench really, I think, has started to come together, you know, the last couple of months for Michael Malone.
Yeah, listen, I've been saying all season long here in Denver, and I do a radio show here in Denver too, that the only thing that really scared me about this team was the bench. I think we forget, one, Christian Brown, I don't know if he's ever going to be a guy that you just throw out there, and, you know, Bruce Brown could be smooth, and you say, okay, Christian, you know, here comes this smooth jazz Christian Brown, right? And he's going to come out and get you 20. So I think he can do that, but he's going to be a wrecking ball, Christian Brown. I mean, he's, you know, there's not a lot of smooth to Christian's game, right? So he starts the season with a sprained ankle, didn't play at all in training camp, and I think he was a little behind. And then I think he expected to be, you know, Bruce Brown, he expected to be that next guy and to automatically be better than he was from the season before, and he didn't shoot the ball well, right? And then I think, as every young player tends to do when they don't shoot the ball well, Pete Watson is kind of going through that a little bit right now. They get in their own head. And then, and you guys know this, when you try not to make mistakes, you're always going to make mistakes. Especially as an athlete on the playing field, on the basketball court, on the ice, when you're trying not to make mistakes, it just inevitably ends up in an error. So I think he went through that. But now it's in the last couple of games, and we're going to highlight him on the broadcast tonight. You know, the 17, what was it, in Portland? Is that who they play in Portland? You know, coming off the bench, team under man, and you're like, great. Has to start the other night against a team in Memphis that, you know, decimated with injuries. I call it a good developmental game because the bench really got to play a lot of, you know, important real basketball, NBA basketball minutes, and he played great too. So he's the leader off of that. And don't just, you know, I can't dismiss Reggie, but Reggie's been starting so much this year with Jamal's injuries that it's automatic. He's, you know, going to be counted on to come off the bench. But they need Christian. I think they need Peyton Watson or Julian Strother in some kind of formation, playing as well as they did in that Memphis game too. Because listen, you probably aren't going to play bench guys 20 minutes a game or 25 minutes a game if you don't have to. Never know about foul trouble, but you don't have to in the postseason. But you're going to have to play in 15, and in those 15 minutes, the bench can't give you a minus 18 points because you're going to lose games.
And also, I think you mentioned Peyton Watson, who, no doubt, Scotty, is incredible defensive talent. The offensive game had to kind of round itself into shape. And it's certainly that's happened for Peyton Watson. His offensive game has improved dramatically. That's no longer maybe the liability it once was with Peyton Watson on the floor.
Yeah, and like I said, he's just got to get out of his own head. And when he goes, like in Portland, he goes 0-for-3, and you can see him all of a sudden he's worried about missing shots. And again, you know, I've been, you know, from playing from playing and broadcasting, you know, 11 years of playing, this is my 30th year broadcasting NBA games. I've seen a lot of basketball in 41 years. And I've seen guys do this. They miss their shots and they just get in their own head. I'll tell you a quick story. I end up playing with the guy, and I talked to him about this, but a guy named Vinny Johnson, the microwave, back in the day, right? And he was at Baylor, and we're playing him down there at Baylor, and he goes 1-for-10. I think he was 1-for-10 shooting in the game, or 1-for-11. He missed 10 shots. He finished the game 10-for-21. Right. And so and I always use this as an example. If he's 0-for-10 at halftime and all of a sudden just gets his head and hangs his head and doesn't care, you know, one, we probably win by 40. Instead, he finishes the game like, you know, 10-for-21. He's 9-of-10 in the second half. And now all of a sudden, I think we had to win the game in overtime. Great players learn to not let mistakes, errors, or moments not acceptable play kind of define who they are, whether it's in a game or in a season, in a stretch, whatever. And I think young guys tend to do. Peyton's doing that. And he came out of it a little bit in Memphis. Now, when you want to start counting on guys in this league, you've got to do it in a consistent manner. Can't be just one game and then, hey, we'll see you around, you know, in a week when you play another good game. You got to start stacking games, and let's see, with 10 or 11 games to go, that Memphis game could be the start of the stack for Peyton Watson.
Altitude, Scott Hastings with us today on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network right now. The Nuggets with the lead in the Western Conference. Nikola Jokic having another incredible season. Does he win the MVP this season, particularly with Embiid's injury? Because it seems like Nikola's just, to me, he would already, even when Embiid was healthy, those two were neck and neck. And I think Nikola Jokic is clearly the front runner to win another MVP.
Well, I think he should. I think he's the most important player, you know, in the league for his team. You know, most valuable player. It doesn't go for the best scoring player. It's not MSP. It's not, you know, MTSP, most taking shot player. It's the most valuable player. And yeah, he should win it. But I said this 4 or 5 weeks ago. I said there's going to come a time and a push soon where you're going to see everybody, all the national media, all the East Coast media, all the whatever, they're going to find their new guy and start pushing. Well, when Embiid went down, you know, you still hear the rants of Embiid because he's scoring 30 points. But then all of a sudden, you know, now he's not going to be eligible for the MVP. It's like a begrudging, okay, Joker can win it again. But if you've noticed over the last week or two nationally, all the noise is starting to shift to Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. And that's great. Guy scores a lot of points. He's been fabulous. Oklahoma City is doing a fabulous job. I think the front office should be, you know, executives of the year for the next 3 or 4 years. I think the coaching, they got a really good coach. They're going to be a threat to win championships. But I'm going to take you back to 2 weeks ago. And Shai Gilgeous had a streak of 30-point games in a row. And Oklahoma City is up 22 points against somebody, Memphis or somebody. And ball goes out of bounds. There's, you know, 8 seconds left on the clock. They're up 22. Usually what happens is you put the ball in, the guys just walk it up, blah, 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 everybody starts shaking hands. They throw it in to Shai Gilgeous. He starts sprinting up the floor, gets down there, and lays it up. After the game's over, because he hadn't got his 30 points yet in this game. And to me, and I know nobody wants to talk about it, but that's not what MVP does. That's not who MVPs are. You know, you look at the stats, and I think Joker has 47. it's either 47 or 53, somewhere in between there, games where he misses a triple-double by one digit. And I've seen him. I've seen coaches say, hey, you need a rebound, you need an assist, you need a bucket. And I've seen him on the bench go, no, I'm okay. I don't need to go back in. Because the bigger picture is winning games and winning championships, not winning MVP. That's why I said last year, 2 years ago, when he didn't win it, last year he didn't win it, he don't care. And so I'll say the same thing. I think the league and the national media will find some way to get Shai Gilgeous-Alexander the thing, the MVP. I think Joker should be it. And then when it's all said and done, Joker can just win the championship again and another championship MVP and all today.
Yeah, well, we'll take that one. I think we're going to call all of us. We'll take that scenario. Scott in a heartbeat.
Right.
And
absolutely. You know, saying this to a buddy the other day, I said, listen, the Conn Smythe, I said this, I got hammered by all the hockey fans here. I don't think Kel's having a great, great year. I think he's great, but I don't think he's going to win a Hart Trophy or anything like that. But you know what? Go win the Conn Smythe. Because if you win the Conn Smythe, guess what you do? You just won a championship. Hey, you may not win an NFL League MVP. Go win the Super Bowl MVP. Because it usually means you win the MVP. So, yeah, I think it's great early on. There was great recognition. Put Denver back on the map in basketball. Blah, 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 blah. But what we saw last year with championship and a championship parade and an MVP of the playoffs trophy. Okay, there you go. That's the MVP you want.
Yeah, win a trophy with some confetti stuck to it. And to that end, Nuggets half game up in the West. There's that three-team kind of fight between Oklahoma City, Minnesota, and them. I talked about this earlier this week on this show. I don't necessarily know if there's a team out there, especially in the West, maybe only Boston, to where if the Nuggets don't have home court advantage, I really worry about it.
Yeah, I think you take home court because it's always nice. The Ball Arena is crazy, and they've been unbelievable fans, and they've been getting there early, and they get there loud, and they're ready for a little excitement and to cheer their team on. So that's always great. That's always easy to play for. But when I was on a championship team in 89-90, I love what Bill Laimbeer said to us. We had a chance to close out Portland, and he said, boys, let's win it on the road. Let's win this thing on the road because the parties on the road are always better. And so, it's kind of twofold. There's nothing. You know, you talk about what do you miss in the league? Well, you miss being the paycheck because I haven't seen paychecks in a long time that size. But what you really miss is the camaraderie of the guys. And there's certain feelings when you play. And the feelings when you can go into another team's building and quiet them and shut them down. Jim, let me tell you, that's one of the great feelings walking back to your locker room there is in sports when you're watching people that are come cheering for the other team walking out their own building. So, yeah, I think they can. And I think, you know, if this team – has a run of multiple championships, they'll have to do that sometime. And who knows, maybe it's this year, maybe it's not.
All right, you can catch Scott later on Altitude, 92.5 on the stream, Plumas, Hastings, and DMAC. I think you should get first or last billing there, to be quite honest, Scott. I don't know. That's just my opinion. But anyway, those other guys are fine gentlemen, good broadcasters. So I just hate to see your name sandwiched between those two guys.
Well, you know what? I would say I'm in the middle, but I think I'm being attacked from both sides, so it's probably appropriate that I'm in the middle.
Okay.
Always having to fight them off.
That's good. Yeah, you're the man in the arena taking on those two guys every week.
Thank you very much. I'm the man in the arena with them two guys just throwing spitballs from the outside.
Exactly. And you're out there, got your shield, got your sword, taking DMAC and Columbus on. Noon weekdays over on Altitude. And, of course, the broadcast tonight with the Nuggets in Phoenix. We'll have Jason Kosmiski on the team tonight at 8 o'clock. Scott, we will make sure it is in the very near future because we got your number. We've got you on record that we can text you, call you the day before, and get you on the program. We'd love to do it again, man.
Absolutely. If I have nothing going on, I am all in, my friend.
All right.
We got three more months of basketball to talk about.
Exactly. We got plenty of time here. So, Scott, appreciate
it. Well, you know what? I sit and waking up last year in Miami, and I'm going, man, it must be nice in Grand Junction because Jim doesn't want to wake up and call me.
Well, every day it's got a little bit of paradise over here, Scott, to be quite honest. I mean, the great golf courses.
Oh, I know.
It's a little piece of heaven over here. I mean, not the Front Range isn't great, but lately you guys have been buried under snow. So,
I spent some time over there. What's the big state-owned or city-owned shooting range you got up over there?
Oh yeah, Cameo, the Cameo shooting complex.
Cameo.
Yeah.
I took a 3-day class up in there, and we stayed right down past it a little bit in the road that had winery all over there.
Oh, yeah.
and great. It was just, I was blown away how beautiful that area was.
Well, you know what? When the Nuggets win another championship this summer, when your season's over, come back over here and spend some time with us. We'd love to have you on the Western Slope again.
Absolutely. Love it. Would love to.
All right, Scott. Appreciate it. We'll get in touch very soon. Have you back on. Always enjoy it.
All right, Jamie. Appreciate it.
All right, take care. All right, Scott Hastings with us today. All right. Join us on the program.
Yeah, now he's got to go today. Do his own show.
He's got to go do his show at noon today.
Nice digs over
Scott,
there, too.
Scott cared that much about being on the program.
Apparently he does.
Because he's got a lot of stuff going on. Chris Marlowe said that,
busy
too.
Busy man, yeah.
Yeah.
Appreciate it. Scott's got his own show. He's got the Nuggets.
Yeah, he's got stuff, and we just always assume he's...
He's always
got
to pop on every couple months to needle Charles Barkley on the NBA on TNT.
Exactly.
Throwing a sucker punch.
Damn
right I did.
Just a really busy guy.
Yeah.
So always enjoy it, though. Well, Scott,
question I have for Scott next time we have him on.
Okay.
In their prime, at their peak physical condition, who's the better earth mover, him or Tyler Palumbus? Who can move a dude out of his spot better?
That's a good question.
Because Scott ain't no slouch. Scott, what, 6'8"? Huge guy.
Scott's a big guy. Well, he played center in the NBA.
Yeah. Let's go see what Basketball Reference had. 6'10", 235.
Yeah.
Tyler Palumbus a little shorter, little huskier.
But offensive lineman in the NFL played.
Not that much shorter. 6'7", 302 when he was in Arizona.
Yeah.
See, that's a heck of a question.
Yeah.
We'll have to ask him that next time we get him on.
Save that. Okay, we are running a little bit behind. Mm-hmm. We still have Wrigley Field Colorado Sports Trivia to do. We got to dive into...
We're into four down territory on the Jim Davis Show on the team.
All right, start things out with first down. Bill Belichick looks like, at least for the upcoming season, not going to be coaching. He's going to be broadcasting. But we're not sure what he's going to do because... According to The Athletic, ESPN's been pursuing him, but Bill Belichick apparently does not want to be part of a regular studio show. He's not interested in being on a pregame panel. So what does that mean for him? Because if it's going to be with ESPN, they have Monday Night Football.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty much it. It's not like he's going to Fox or CBS where he could be a color analyst. It's going to be interesting what role the Bill Belichick plays moving forward.
And I get it. If I'm Bill Belichick, I don't want to go through the car wash. Because if I'm on a studio show, you know what I have to do? The get-ups.
Yeah.
And NFL Live. And then I have to pop in and do a bit on SportsCenter. And then this whole, I don't want to do that. If I'm not going to coach, then I'm not going to... I don't want to do that. So I get it.
All right. Second down. Lending some credence to my theory about Jim Harbaugh and the fifth pick.
Uh-huh.
Chargers have the fifth pick. Harbaugh told reporters on Monday that he's excited about his team spotting the draft because there's talk of four quarterbacks going the first four picks. So if that happens, LA will be able to draft the player they believe is the best non-quarterback in the country. Though, I think it actually gives some credence to what I'm trying to say here. that he's talking about the quarterbacks, I'm going to try to throw people off the track. I personally think he is. I think if J.J. McCarthy's there somehow, he drafts J.J. McCarthy.
He'll find a way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's truth that, yeah, they'll be the best non-quarterback player available,
mm-hmm.
but that's his guy.
Yeah.
And saying, you know, that there's talk of four quarterbacks who win the first four picks might be him saying, yeah, we have no interest. Once again, this is the season people play poker. Mm-hmm. And Jim Harbaugh is good at playing poker.
And what's the most Jim Harbaugh-ish thing you could do is draft a player fourth overall that's not going to play for you this season because you have Justin Herbert. Yikes. Anyway.
Yeah.
Third down. ESPN is, quote, aggressively pursuing, unquote, Jason Kelce for Monday Night Countdown. Is that a good get for Jason Kelce to go to ESPN and Countdown? He feels more Fox-ish.
Yeah.
A looser, you know, kind of more at Amazon TV-ish. Just ESPN feels a little
constrained.
Yeah.
Yeah, he needs a place where he can be Jason Kelce.
Yeah, exactly. I agree.
Yeah.
So that
Amazon would make a lot of sense.
Amazon makes a lot of sense.
Because they're looking for more ways to bring people mm-hmm. over to their broadcast.
But he would keep Andrew Whitworth because two offensive linemen for some studio shows is too many.
Might be too much.
Now, this is baseball. This is money and salary related. This is something that I brought up a week or two ago. J.D. Davis won his arbitration case, got cut. Well, now Phil Bickford has won his arbitration case and got cut by the Mets. Because between the Mets' $815,000 and his $900,000 for the salary, he won. According to the arbitration panel, he proved his case better, and so he gets $900,000 until the Mets cut him, and now he gets $217,000 in termination pay. Here's my proposal for the CBA for the next thing. Now, the players union trying to force out one guy, force in another guy, blah, blah, blah. Maybe they should put in a rule that the team has to pay you the amount that the arbitration panel says. If you win, why should you be allowed to be cut in 2 days?
At least you got to walk away with something.
Right. Exactly.
I like that.
That's my thought on it. You should be able to at least get your money. If you go through the whole arbitration process, they control your rights. You should at least get the money that they awarded you.
Sure. Makes total sense to me.
He lost $680,000 in change because the Mets lost on an $85,000 difference.
So why go through all that hassle unless you're going to get something out of it?
Right. And if you're going to cut him, why bother go to arbitration?
Why didn't just say
just cut him.
Just got him. Stupid.
It's dumb.
All right. That's Four Down Territory. Time for...
That's the story of the greatest sport moment of all of history.
It's time to take a trip back in time. It's This Day in Sports History.
All right. 1939. Oregon beats your beloved Ohio State. 46-33 in the NCAA's first national basketball tournament.
Also, best part? First national championship game in the NCAA tournament? First college football playoff national championship game, Ohio State, Oregon.
Good job. 1971, UCLA beats Villanova 68-62 for their fifth NCAA basketball title. 1998, Michael Jordan scores 34 points to lead the Bulls to an 89-74 win over Atlanta before over 62,000 people at the Georgia Dome, the largest crowd in NBA history. All right, normally we do it earlier in the morning. We're a little bit behind today. Been a busy show. It's time for Wrigley Field Cutoff Sports Trivia, brought to you by Wrigley Field, Grand Junction's original sports bar, the home of the 15-minute lunch guarantee. If you don't get your lunch in 15 minutes or less, it's half price at Wrigley Field, just east of Sam Saplesio Field on North Avenue. Here's the question. It's a Broncos question. It's multiple choice today, by the way. Who was the first Bronco to catch 100 passes in a season? Was it Lionel Taylor? Was it Rod Smith? Or Shannon Sharp? Who was the first Bronco to catch 100 passes in a season? Lionel Taylor, Rod Smith, Shannon Sharp. If you've won the last 2 weeks, don't play. If you win today, you get the gift certificate to Wrigley Field, and you're into the drawing for the never-ending contest with Haining Home Services, new air conditioning for your home. You must own your home. Get details at theteam1340.com. All right, Wrigley Field, Cover Sports Trivia. Who was the first Bronco to catch 100 passes in a season? Lionel Taylor, Rod Smith, or Shannon Sharp? All right, we will take a break, and we'll come back, wrap things up, and also pick a winner for a wine today from Talon Wine on Wine About a Wednesday on the Team Sports Network.
Yeah, I think they're like the best on the radio.
At least at the pro level, the best of the best.
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, the Team.
Welcome back in, 9:51. Jim along with the Buckeye Boy. Got some texts we want to get to before we wrap up the show this morning. Mike in Scottsdale, good morning, muchachos. The basketball cupboard's pretty bare in Boulder. Could that be the destination for Baskin? Sound bites coming out of Dove Valley sound like outtakes from awful motivation presentations. Fluffy nonsense.
Yeah, they sound like the cuts that didn't make the final edit of Where There's a Will, There's an A.
And they have a lot of those motivational posters.
Mm-hmm.
Like competition. Excellence.
Yeah.
Did you see in the restroom or in the conference room? James over Cutter Craft Coffee and Beer. Sorry, Buckeye, but the one language that everyone understands is money. I really don't think he's as naive as he portrays.
That may be true, but I'm just saying it's not out of the realm of possibility that somebody close to somebody rich and famous bilked them out of millions of dollars.
And somebody that's not
a trust, supposedly yeah, trusted friend.
Not familiar with the language here. So, yeah, I just this whole thing of, well, he would have known $4 million was gone, would he? He's got an accountant. That's I'm sure he probably does. I can't imagine Shohei Ohtani manages his own money. He's got an agent, got an accountant. And those are the people, if you want to get critical, mm-hmm, why didn't they notice it was gone?
Yeah, yeah.
Let's see, that one from RJ and Delta. Jim, here's one for you. Giants trade Daniel Jones in the sixth pick for Justin Herbert, then Chargers get JJ and a receiver in the first round. Have you listened to old Khaki Pants, though? They're the pick of the litter of the non-quarterbacks. I still think
that's... Which may be JJ McCarthy.
That's him playing a little poker. Let's see. You know, Mike and Scott still talking about Baskin going to CU. What about CSU?
That I thought would be a good fit. Joel Scott did it.
Why not Trevor? Let's see what else we got here, I think. Did we get a winner, by the way?
Yes, we did.
Okay, let me hit the button.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, the winner of the contest.
It's another winner on the Team Sports Network.
Dave correctly identifying Lionel Taylor.
Back in 61, 100 catches.
That's a lot for 1961.
What, Frank Trepuka was throwing the rock around?
Sounds like it.
For the Broncos at that time? Let's see. Robert's been busy. It's been a very busy day for Robert. Mm-hmm. MLB and the fans cannot tell what is real or drug-enhanced in regard to Barry Bonds. Pete has done enough groveling. Has he? Has he really groveled?
Has he done any groveling?
I don't think he's really groveled. It's against the law to keep kicking a man when he's down on the ground. If niceness was a qualification for the Hall of Fame, then Ty Cobb should be thrown out of the hall. And then he's still writing a text, I think. I don't know.
Ran out of room. Ran out of time, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, there are a lot of guys like Ty Cobb, Pete Rose. They're not great guys. Also, Ty Cobb got attributed with doing some things that he didn't actually do.
Also,
became part of the story about him that wasn't true.
Never accepted a lifetime ban from the sport.
He did something that was against the rules of baseball. They caught him. He agreed to the ban. If he was so innocent, why did he agree to the ban?
Like Guru says, he agreed partially in rumored to keep the real evidence quiet.
Yeah. Robert, it's not about us not being nice or not caring about Pete Rose. It's he did something wrong. He agreed to the punishment, and now he has to live with that. I'm back with you tomorrow morning at 7.